Start the recording.
Take two.
Take two. Good evening, everybody. It is Monday, May 23rd, 2022. It's 4:21 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time. This is the Fakeologist speaking. I do the Fakeologist show Sunday through Thursday at around 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time. This day is Monday. It's Queen Victoria's birthday. And most of Canada probably doesn't even know who she is, but she's an old man or woman, depending on how you look at things. And she was around 100 years ago, and she was, like, I suppose, the Queen of Canada. Back in the day, we take the third Monday of May off here in Canada. It's usually warm enough to start planting, and it is the only time when you can probably be sure that your plants won't freeze. So the temperature usually stays above freezing here until at least Labor Day. Anyway, so today is one of those days where we have a guest from over the pond, so that's why I'm coming to you here a little earlier, and I'm off today, so I can do it from the studio where the sound is pretty good. Just got a new computer. I'm still trying to get it working, so forgive me if there's any technical transgressions. But today's special guest is a returning guest, a guest that we really like to talk to because she talks the most common of common sense when it comes to health and virology and the study of disease and BS. And
I'm common, all right.
And welcome to the one and only Northern Tracy, a real fan favorite here at Fakeologist.
Yay. You should have played my little thing that I made you last night.
What'd you make me last night?
I can't remember what you called it. A little promo.
Oh, the bumper.
Yeah, you should have played
the bumper. I can play the bumper. That really, the bumper is for the audio chat.
Oh, okay.
And that interrupts the show, the audio, every once on the hour on the audio chat, which is a separate stream. So thanks for reminding me. Okay. So there is an audio chat, and let me take everyone to that. And I think can you see the screen, Northern Tracy?
I'm looking at my own stuff.
Okay, but you can see the restream. I think you can in the window you can see stuff.
No, I'm not on Fakeologist. I'm just on Skype.
Okay,
it's a bit distracting, I think.
All right. Well, the reason I'm doing that is I want to bring everyone to fake11.com/audio. And if you go there, you can click on audio chat. What the hell is it? Let me go to the top here and click on audio stream radio and click on audio chat. Let's go there. And then I'm going to show you something new. Something new we've added is Skype calling. If you want to join the audio chat, instead of Discord, if you don't want to use Discord, you can use Skype. And what we've done, and it's still in the beta phase or the alpha phase, you can connect to me on Skype. My Skype name is Fakeologist. And I'll add you to my contacts. Once I add you to the contacts, you can go into the audio chat. Otherwise, you can't. Or if you don't want to use Skype and you want to use a phone number, you have to send me your phone number. And don't worry, I won't call you. And I'll add you to my contacts. And then you can also go into the audio chat. The point is the audio chat is a private room. We don't want just anyone calling in. So we have to verify people because it's a live to radio or live to stream broadcast. And it's recorded. So that's something new. And if you want to call in, the call-in number is 810-275-0700. As a matter of fact, I'm going to call it right now just for a laugh. 810-275-0700. And we're going to see if the phone rings. And if it does, then we're going to see if we can answer it. Yeah. Someone is calling in. That's me calling in, but it just went away. So it came and it went. So I don't know.
Tim, will you stop playing with yourself?
Yeah, okay. Right. Oh, you have a way with words, Northern Tracy. By the way, why are you called Northern?
It's a long story.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's not long. When I moved down to London, obviously they all call you a Northerner because I'm from up North Yorkshire way. And there was more than one Tracy in our little gang.
You told me the story.
Yeah, so that I was called Northern Tracy, and there was an ugly Tracy, and there was another girl who was from up north called Tracy, but I can't remember what they called her, Funny Tracy or something. So the name just sort of stuck, and I used it on Facebook and MySpace and places like that.
Why didn't they call you Pretty Tracy if the other one was ugly?
Oh, don't know.
That would have been positive.
More because of my northern accent, really, probably. It kind of sticks out in London.
Is that looked down upon in London?
It used to be. It used to be when I first moved there. I used to get a lot of people taking the piss out of me. But then accents became quite trendy after a few years. After I'd started losing mine a bit, they suddenly became trendy. So, yeah.
I'm looking at your main page, Northern Tracy Scribblings.
Yeah.
And I don't see a link to the Blurt blog there. Is that on purpose? Or am I missing it?
No, they're completely separate.
But the good stuff is on the Blurt blog, I think. Is that right?
No, it's just it's more relaxed, the Blurt blog.
Oh.
Where I take the WordPress one quite seriously. And you put serious stuff up there and only stuff to do with germ theory and doctors and things like that. Whereas on Blurt, I can post up what I like, really.
You can just blurt it out.
Yes.
Now, by the way, I want to show you something else that just happened today within the last hour. If you go to fakeologist.com and click on the link, look what you get. You get a really pretty web page that...
Fakeologist.
Go to fakeologist.com, get a really pretty word, pretty graphic anyway, a pretty page that was created thanks to Joel Velasette and his wife, Sarah. So they made a nice, pretty page. And looks better than the old page. The only thing is we have to tune it up a bit, but overall it shows the blog, the forums, FakoTube, mm-hmm. Discord, and the Corona Hoax main page, and it has our IP.
Hopefully it's a bit easier to navigate then.
Well, I hope so. Do you find it easier? Does it look better?
Don't know. I've only just seen it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's pretty simple. There's not much on it, so it should be easy for people.
Yeah, looks good. Looks good.
Yeah, it's simple. It's clean. And thank you to Sarah and Velasette. And that's part of our formula, our time, talent, and treasure formula, where you donate your time, your talent, or your treasure, or all three. We appreciate it. And thank you so much for everyone who donates in that way. And speaking of donations, thanks to donors Dirty Benny, who I brought a guest he suggested on last night, named Above Is Below, another one from the UK.
I listened to a bit of that. It's quite interesting, wasn't it?
I love it. I love her voice, too. I love your voice, but she has a very... she didn't tell us where she was from. She's very private. But if you had to guess, where was that accent from?
London, I'd say.
That's London? Okay. I figured that chances are many people live in London live in England.
She sounded a bit posh, though, so it could have been south of London somewhere.
Yeah, I thought she sounded posh, too. And what a story. She bumped into all these different types of people. I've never asked your opinion on the whole transgender agenda, have I?
Well, I was more interested in the child sacrifice and MKUltra that she was talking about, because I don't agree that everyone in Hollywood is transgendered.
Mm-hmm.
I think a few people are, but I don't think everybody is.
Mm-hmm. But what about the major ones brought before us? Think more of them, more than ever now than, say, 10 years ago?
Well, yeah, they couldn't do it as well 10 years ago, could they?
You think it's way better now? Do you think it's really good now?
Yeah, obviously, because you can't tell.
Yeah.
But like I was telling you yesterday, they go on like hip size and like body things.
Yeah.
Long arms and things like that, which I don't have wide hips. My shoulders are wider than my hips. But I'm not a transgender. So I don't think you can generalize that strongly about body shape. There's a grayscale in the middle that a lot of people don't fit into.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. I agree, and we've always said there's ugly women and ugly men, and sometimes
pretty men.
Yeah, there's pretty men. Yeah, makes it hard. But I guess there's really only one way to tell, and it's you can't tell someone to pull down their pants in the middle of the street to figure it out. So overall, it's you're just guessing a lot of the time.
And what about hermaphrodites? There's always been hermaphrodites too.
Yeah. And do you think they go right to Hollywood to apply for jobs? Because there can't be that many.
No, I was quite interested in the hermaphrodite thing years ago, and I was looking into it for a while, but it didn't really go anywhere. They're quite rare.
Yeah. Now that's a biological mistake, isn't it?
What they do is when a baby's born, and if it doesn't have if it's got both organs, whereas it shouldn't have, they'll decide there and then which one they're going to take away.
Right. How the hell do they do that right away? As in the first day?
That's what they used to do. Yeah.
But how do they get a team ready so fast?
Horrible thing to do. But then I think they stopped doing that, and that's when I started hearing about it, because they would leave them to get older, and then they could decide which one they wanted to get rid of.
Well, you don't hear about that anymore.
No, you don't, do you? Which I think is quite interesting. But we weren't here. We're not here to talk about hermaphrodites, are we?
No, but I know you have an opinion on probably everything. So I wanted to get your opinion on that, because you probably know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm very opinionated.
Well, sometimes it's better to go try something fresh, because you're obviously the expert on cutting through the BS in the media regarding health and pharmacology. But it's the transgender thing is, even if you don't like it and don't talk about it, it's being pushed so hard every day in the media that you have to really, unfortunately, address it. We have to figure out why they're doing it.
Saying that I don't address it.
Yeah.
I'm just not an expert on it.
Well, who is?
Well, who is? Your lady who was on the other day.
Well, yeah. She spends tons of time at it, but I don't even think that people that really do the exposing, they don't even really like to be called transvestigators. And a lot of them, and including Above Is Below, they're really going into the deeper esoterica part of it anyhow. They don't just do videos saying, oh, that's a boy, that's a girl, etc. They like to delve deep. And even Mr. E, I don't think, likes being called a transvestigator either, because he's really... He calls these entities demonic.
Yeah.
Goes down.
It's all to do with the Satan worshippers, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's them that are doing it. That's what I mean. Not everybody in Hollywood is a Satan worshipper as well.
Oh, I agree. But what about the people that control control it.
I think they try and get you into it.
Yeah.
And if you won't join, or if they can't get any leeway on you to use for blackmail and stuff, then you don't get as much work.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, looking at your Blurt blog, it's called, well, the Blurt blog is a long URL, so you're just going to have to catch the link from the show notes, I think, because I can't really, I don't know if you type in Blurt blog and Northern Tracy, if you'll even get to the page.
I think if you just Google Blurt, not at Northern Tracy, with a dash between Northern and Tracy, it comes up.
I'm going to try that. I use presearch.org, and you're right.
I use presearch too, but, you know.
It does work.
Yeah.
It does work. How's your Blurt wallet? Is it getting bigger?
It went down a bit with the whole crypto collapse thing, but it's going up again now. It's still over $1,000.
Yeah. Well, I just typed in Blurt. Well, when I type Blurt and Northern Tracy, it shows your wallet in the search results.
Oh, funny.
So it says you have 771 Blurts.
No, I've got more than that.
But then it says Blurt Power, you have 53,000.
Yeah, that's my Blurt.
Estimated account value, 1193. That's all Masonic numerology, by the way, 1193. Very suspicious.
I must be a Freemason.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and I can see your whole, you got 8 Blurts from a jerk off 14 days ago.
Yes, I did.
And a jerk off gave you 5 7 days ago. He won Sunday fun day.
Yeah, I've been busy, haven't I?
Wow.
Oh, for God's sake, my cats are fighting.
Oh.
Great.
Well, I'm going to set up my Blurt wallet. I'm going to set up my Epic Cash wallet because Uncle Vigilante has been harassing me for months to get a Epic Cash wallet. And he said that he's going to sponsor FakoTube with Epic Cash.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if I do that, I'll have more money in a few years than I have now in total, which is great.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not going to sell my house and turn it into Epic Cash, but if he wants to give me some, I guess I should take it.
Well, I took your money off your Blurt blog because you didn't want to use it, so I gave it back to myself.
Oh, you can do that? You can take it away?
Yeah.
Well, you can giveth and taketh away. Wow.
Well, I've still got all the passwords because you didn't use
right.
it.
So if I took it from you, then you couldn't get it back? Is that how it works?
If you took it over and you started using it, I would delete all the passwords.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well,
I wouldn't go in it without your consent, obviously.
The problem with Blurt compared to what I have now is I use WordPress and all its features, and I can't. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Blurt has to offer, but I don't want to be on someone else's platform.
There's different dApps that you can use that front Blurt. I'm still quite new to this, so I didn't really understand it. But you can go on different places and use their features. And I've changed over from Blurt Blog to Blurt Live. Because the features are better, and you can use them. They also have a little tutorial that you can have by the side. Open it to the side, and it tells you how to use the HTTP features to make your letters bigger and do all the editing tools that you can do on WordPress that does it for you. But it's nice to do it the old-fashioned way, I think, using HTTP. It's quite fun.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look while you're talking and see if there is a connection between the two. Because maybe I can blurt out my WordPress posts onto your WordPress out to Blurt, something like that? Cause
well, I know that since I've been on Blurt, I couldn't do it on Hive, but on Blurt, I can just copy and paste a whole Blurt straight into WordPress. And it mostly comes out looking exactly the same. Sometimes I have to fill in some of the pictures, but most of it comes out fine. So it makes it really easy to just, when I do a blur and I think it's good enough to put on my WordPress, I'll just copy paste the whole lot, which is what I did with the hepatitis stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I might take out swear words and things though.
You don't swear.
Maybe. I don't think I did though.
Well, I'll figure it out because right now I'm all over the place. I got so much software going on. I can't wrap my head around another one. And WordPress works brilliantly, of course. I do my podcasts all are linked to WordPress. My Twitter stuff comes from WordPress. I'm now tooting onto the No Agenda Mastodon server, which is like Twitter. I do that automatically now. So I have everything so intricately linked,
well, that was what I was using WordPress for originally. It was just to write long things, and then I could post them onto Facebook as a short post.
And bring them over to your WordPress after that? Is that the idea?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm talking about Facebook.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay. So you didn't go on to Facebook
I'd write long posts on WordPress.
Yeah. But you'd put the short ones on Facebook and send them to WordPress if they wanted the rest.
No.
You didn't do that?
No.
Okay. You kept them separate, just like you're keeping Blurt separate from WordPress.
Yeah.
And you don't even tell them you have Blurt on your WordPress site. Why is that? Don't you want them to know?
I don't know. I just never really thought about it.
It's marketing. Marketing 101. Come on, Tracy. You've got to sell yourself.
I'd rather be a bit mysterious.
Yeah.
I don't want to market myself. I'm not in this for anything. I'm not making any money out of this.
No, but you're trying to help as many people as possible. That's why I promote you.
I've kind of come to the point where everyone who's going to believe what I'm putting out is already believing it. And the rest of them, they're done for, basically. That's my thinking. So I've kind of come to the point where I can't be asked anymore.
Napoleon says he has a funny video in Telegram that you should look at. So I'm going to try and find it for you and play it for you.
I don't know how I'll see it unless you share screen on Skype.
Well, you can't flip. What are you on, a computer?
Yeah.
Well, then you should be able to, look at the screen.
Yeah, but what am I looking at?
You're going to look at this great video from Napoleon in the restream window.
I can't see it on Skype. Unless you share your screen.
No, but you can switch your windows. You don't need to have Skype at the forefront.
Well, where am I supposed to go? Now are you?
Oh, right. That's right. You got to go to fakotube.com and look at it. Okay, sorry. You're right.
Okay.
Oh, that's right.
So I didn't want to have the FakoTube open.
Oh, I get you.
Kind of distracting.
Okay, I'll share the screen with you. I get it. Let me just see.
Live now. Do I click on it? I didn't
want to
have the fake or choose.
Yeah. You there?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I started a window and it screwed me up here.
I've opened fake or tube now.
Yeah, what's the video? Come on, Napoleon. Is it the Batman thing? Classic Batman TV part one? What is it? What do you want us to play? Napoleon has taken over the Telegram channel, so I need to know what it is that you want me to play. You can hear it, he says. Well, I'll start looking for it. Let's talk about monkeypox. That's why you're here.
Do you want to talk about monkeypox? Do you?
Well,
I thought you wanted to talk about the liver damage thing first.
Yeah, all right. Let's go liver damage. That's already going away real fast. But yeah, let's talk about it.
Have they stopped all that now then? We can talk about the monkeypox. That's fine.
Yeah. Well,
I actually was doing a bit of research last night just in case. And I found out quite a few interesting things about monkeypox.
Okay. So okay, hold on. I found the video. Let me play it now. He sent it to my personal mailbox. You know, I have 1,000 places to look. But okay, here we go. Let's play this for you.
For many people, life among the working classes is as alien as R2-D2, ET or CP3O. Crisps for dinner and a pint of Best. Our soccer club's better than the rest. City, United, Albion, Rovers. Cobbled streets that advertise Hovis. Knucklebusters, Asbos, car park fights. Poundland, Asda, bingo nights. Matchstalk men, matchstalk cats. Matchstick dogs and council flats. Community centres and spray paints and swearing. Harassed policemen and teachers past caring. Unions, strikes. Everybody out!
I don't want to.
You've got to.
We won't earn out.
Cotton mills and cooling towers. Old tin baths. No power showers. A certain pride. A certain swagger. A fist. A stick. A gun. A dagger. Gyros. Glue sniffing. Dogs on ropes. But I see people with dreams. With hopes.
Well, that was a story on the working class from Sky TV.
I just tried to open Fakeologist and I had 3 different voices all going at once and I couldn't see that video. So I don't know what's going on.
It's all
better
right.
If you share your screen.
Vaccines are good for you. And that's all there is to
God,
it.
Oh, my God. I got to turn off autoplay. Can't stand Russell Brand, but everyone seems to play him. But did you hear?
Sometimes. I've actually met him.
Oh, wow. And? Did he have a male energy coming off of him?
He was absolutely off his tits. He was so drunk or high or whatever he was that he had to lean against a wall and he couldn't get down the stairs. It was an art party I went to.
Recently?
No, this was when I was doing picture framing in Oxford Circus. I used to meet quite a lot of famous people there because it was an art gallery. And we used to have the artists there and do's and things. And he was at one of those.
Did you hear the working class audio, or was it too muffled because you had 3 things going?
Yeah, I heard it, and I recognise the voice, but I can't place it. I can't think who it is. I'd know it if I saw the face.
The guy's name is Alan Gordon Partridge.
Alan Partridge, isn't it? It's Alan Partridge, yeah.
Okay.
I love Alan Partridge.
Okay, I think Napoleon was waiting for you to laugh.
What?
I think you were supposed to laugh.
Oh, I've seen everything by Alan Partridge already.
Okay.
I couldn't watch it.
Yeah, no, I know. Okay, I gotcha. All right, that's fine. Okay, let's go back to monkeypox. Let's keep this show.
If I share my screen, can you share your screen as well?
I am sharing my screen on Restream and on Fakeologist, FakeTube, and on YouTube.
On Skype where I am.
Yeah, well, I can do it. I think I can. I don't normally do that. Let's see. Where is it here? Share screen. Okay, I can share my screen. Okay, let's see here.
Well, I'm sharing my screen anyway.
Well, I'm sharing my screen.
No, I'm sharing my screen.
Hold on a sec. Where is it then?
I don't know. You've got too many windows open, haven't you? You've got to open your
Skype. Okay, I see. Okay, yeah, you're sharing your screen. Okay, you're on, you're sharing your screen of me looking at Skype. What else you got? Okay, I see that. Adrenodectomy or something.
Well,
okay.
I was going to talk about this hepatitis, but you don't want to talk about that. So
no, we'll talk about it. I'm going to share my screen, my Skype screen of you screen. I'm going to share my Skype screen. Okay, which is you're sharing your screen. Okay, go ahead.
Because when I want to save a load of stuff for later, I'll put it in WordPress as a draft. So I thought while I'm finding all this stuff, I'll stick it in a draft, and then I can just read it and show it to you when I come on.
That's good. Let's look at this. This is good.
Okay, so first off, I went to the CDC website, and it said on there that the first human case of monkeypox was recorded in 1970 in the Democratic Republic of the Congo during a period of intensified effort to eliminate smallpox, which I thought was interesting. So they discovered the monkeypox during a smallpox vaccination drive. So mm-hmm. You've got to remember that for later.
They always discover new viruses or diseases right after an injection program.
Exactly. That's the point that I will get to right at the end.
I know. I had to say that, though, because that's the most important thing of all for the heart of thinking here. But yes, that's fantastic.
That's the point that always comes across in everything that I look at. The connection between vaccine drives and new diseases.
Exactly. Got it. I gotcha.
It's the same, always the same.
Yes.
So then I go to Wikipedia, which is always good for finding out lots of different stuff, even though it's a load of it's rubbish. But it's good to use for research. And where was I looking? It was, the virus, in inverted commas, was first identified. Well, actually, yeah, it's talking about the virus. It's first identified by Preben von Magnus in 1958 when two outbreaks of a smallpox-like disease occurred in colonies of monkeys kept for research.
Oh, right. So they were shooting them up with the injection.
Well, they weren't animals in the wild, obviously. They were lab animals.
That they were shooting up, probably, with all their crap.
Well, yeah, obviously. They hint that these monkeys weren't in the labs yet, but I find later on, when I look at more stuff, that they were actually in the labs, and we get to that later. But I wanted to look at this Preben von Magnus, who supposedly discovered the virus. So I looked into Preben von Magnus on Wikipedia.
That's a German name, isn't it? It says he's Danish.
Yeah, he's Danish.
But isn't von German and van is Dutch?
Well, it's Germanic, isn't
Germanic,
it?
Germanic, yeah.
I don't know. So he gave his name to the von Magnus phenomenon.
How generous.
Which I'll look at in a minute. But he also directed the first Danish vaccination program against polio. And he was the first to confirm the identity of the monkeypox virus. And then this other weird thing which jumped out at me. He explained that respiratory viruses such as influenza and the common cold, hello, that's coronavirus, were unsuitable as biological weapons. And I thought, why would he say something like that? That's just really weird. Why would he be looking at biological weapons?
And don't forget, when was this edited? Because this could be recently edited as well.
Oh, yeah, I've caught that as well.
Yeah.
To that as well.
You're too smart.
Don't worry. And then I thought, what's this von Magnus phenomenon? So I was going to go and look at that. And first line despite the inability to isolate them. So he didn't isolate a virus. He discovered defective interfering particles using the influenza virus system. And I don't know what that is. I meant to go and look that up and I couldn't find. I think I went to bed. Anyway, I should have a look at what that means. So he found basically these interfering particles are spontaneously generated virus mutants. No, they're not. In which a critical portion of the particle's genome has been lost. So basically, when they do these PCR tests and they're looking at the bits and bobs in these petri dishes, they're looking at cell debris. And in the cell debris, there's lots of bits of RNA. They never find a full DNA strand, never. They just find little bits of what they think is RNA, which is little bits of DNA strands.
Which are proteins, aren't they? Aren't they? They're really protein sequences, are they not?
Yeah, basically. Basically, that's what they are. Oh, you're getting this. You're really good at this, aren't you?
Well, so basically, I've been soaking in it for so long, even if I try to ignore it, I'm getting it.
So basically, he's saying that the strips of letters that they stick into the computer, these acids,
right,
are not lining up perfectly with what they have on their database for supposedly another virus that they're looking for. So if they don't match up, there's something wrong with them. That's what he's saying. Or they've mutated. It's not that they've done the jigsaw puzzle wrong, or that there is no jigsaw puzzle. There's just bits and pieces of fragments of rubbish. Do you see what I mean? And then it goes on to say that these interfering particles can occur within nearly every class of both DNA and RNA viruses, both in clinical and laboratory settings, including poliovirus, SARS, coronavirus, and measles, which has been proven to not be a virus in a court now.
Right, and that was Stefan Lanka.
So basically, it's all bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Interfering particle. But, and then I had a quick look at the talk bit on Wiki just to see, you know, what's been edited and moved around. And it says the contents of the defective interfering RNA page were merged with defective interfering particle. So RNA is what he was looking at, not DNA. So that's confirmed. It's all to do with junk, debris, bits of RNA, which are everywhere. So anyway, on his Von Magnus page, there's a little bit about monkeypox. And there was some interesting things on his page that didn't correlate exactly. As in the monkeys that supposedly had the monkeypox, they had it more than 50 days after their arrival by ship from Singapore. So they're already in Denmark in the lab. These are not animals set aside to go to a lab, which is what they kind of infer on the main page. They were actually, they'd already been shipped. They're already in the lab. So, yeah, of course they're going to get sick. And it says he isolated the virus from monkey kidney tissue cell culture. Now, you've heard monkey kidney tissue cell culture before, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Exactly. This is this new Enders system of isolating the virus which is not isolation at all. It's completely bogus. It's just mixing a load of drugs and poisons with cells from monkeys and supposedly adding the virus. And then when there's a reaction, they claim that is caused by the virus and nothing else, not any of the chemicals that they've put in there. It's the virus that's killing the cells, which is bullshit.
Yeah, nothing to do with all the chemicals and the toxins. It's just this displaced particle. Sounds like a displaced person.
Yeah, so this is from the guy who supposedly discovered the monkeypox virus. And now we know he used the same method that was debunked by Lanka in court of the measles virus. So we can safely say that they haven't discovered a monkeypox virus at all. And then it went on to, I'm looking at what I highlighted, who reported that it was not infrequent, that means it happened quite often, to observe outbreaks of suspected smallpox and monkeypox in laboratory monkeys at more than 25 biological institutions around the world. So it's quite common that these monkeys that are taken out of the jungle and stuck in a lab thousands of miles away are getting ill. They're getting poxes all over their bodies.
So, is this before or after they're injected?
They don't say.
Yeah. So, yeah, just taking any animal out of their environment. Yeah.
He says more than 50 days after their arrival. So they've been there, what's 50 days, a month and a half. So, yeah, they've probably been injected with something by then. I don't think they'd get away with just sitting them around and feeding them, would they?
No.
And then also interesting, I found that Von Magnus and his wife, Herdis, were not only Salk's lifelong friends, blah, blah, blah. So they were lifelong friends with Jonas Salk, who produced the first polio vaccine. And Salk's polio vaccine was the one that caused all those kids to get paralysis. His one was taken off the market. I believe it was Salk's, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. And the vaccine came well after polio had pretty much gone away.
Yeah, it just caused more polio, didn't it?
That came well after the incidence of polio had gone down, which, yep. I don't know if it's your idea that it's also probably just chemical poisoning, which is, of course...
Well, it is, yeah. It is just chemical
DDT, poisoning. Which was in everything, even in the clothing. It's kind of funny that I was just driving home today to talk to you, and I saw on the side of the road the city had a big sign up saying they're going to start spraying, aerial spraying, for the moth. I guess there's some kind of moth around here where the caterpillar eats all the leaves.
Well, anything that gets sprayed in the air...
Not good.
...that can get on your skin could cause symptoms that look like monkeypox, basically. But from what I've seen of the pictures of monkeypox, there was one, I didn't save it, but you can look it up if you want. It's on... I think it was on the, I can't remember where I saw it. But there's a picture, famous picture of a little African boy with supposed monkeypox, which would have been taken during the vaccine drive for smallpox. And if you look at the picture, it looks exactly like smallpox. It is smallpox. It's the same thing.
Well, it's a small lesion on your skin that's obviously caused by some kind of detox or some kind of exposure to chemicals.
I think a lot of it is just poisoning on the skin. like a noxious chemical that gets on your skin. Like if it, and your skin is not a barrier. It is a sponge. Things can go in through your skin, obviously. So this stuff gets into your skin and then your body has to somehow push it back out again. And that's what causes the pustules. Is all the
they're like blisters, really. The blister is your body trying to get something out.
That's what a pustule is, isn't it? Blister. Yeah. So the body like encounters these chemicals under the skin. So then the bacteria have to get in there to work their magic. They produce the proteins which neutralize any nasty chemicals. And then they will neutralize it, and plus any cells that have been damaged or dead, they get pushed out as well. So all that stuff comes out, and it looks like white, so because it's full of white blood cells, obviously.
Let me just I brought up the screen here. City of Toronto to begin LDD, which is Limantria dispar. Moth. City of Toronto will implement the first round of aerial spray program next week in Toronto.
Forecast. Well, I would look out for any symptoms of paralysis or coughing, any coughing diseases, breathing problems, and possibly rashes. They could get all the disease symptoms from that.
I love how they're so worried about trees in Toronto. It really makes me actually laugh in a way, because they go out of their way. We have a huge sort of, I would say almost a militant arborist division in Toronto, where when you're doing construction, you have to call the arborist and they'll surround the trees that they won't allow to be destroyed by any construction site with huge fences and signage. And I've seen some of the ugliest, most defective looking trees being quote unquote protected by the City of Toronto arborists. And it's just laughable. Like, do you really want to save those trees? Are they that important that you can't plant a few new ones?
Well, that's very treeist of you.
It's very treeist.
It's an ugly tree.
Ugly tree, you got it.
Maybe the birds don't think it's an ugly tree.
I know, I'm being very treeist, but I also believe we can plant new trees, maybe fresh ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Not
all trees live that long, do they?
I'm also laugh when they try and preserve so-called heritage buildings in Toronto. Toronto is our oldest buildings are maybe 100 years old, and they go out of their way to save some of the ugliest buildings ever. I'm not against starting over again. You could take a picture of an old building and then remember it that way. Why do you have to spend 10 times the amount of construction cost to save an ugly building? But because it's a heritage building. But I digress. Here we go. During the aerial spray, 3 twin-engine helicopters with an ultra-low-volume spray system will fly between 15 and 30 meters above the tree canopy to apply biological, naturally occurring insecticides. What's that? What's a naturally occurring insecticide? Would that be like a ladybug? Well,
naturally occurring insecticide.
Yeah. The products must be applied directly to tree foliage, as LDD moth caterpillars must feed on the treated leaves for the insecticides to be effective.
What naturally kills insects?
Birds.
I can't think of anything.
Maybe they're going to do a massive bird drop. Spraying will be between 5 a.m. and 8:30 a.m. Wow.
You know, they can say anything's natural nowadays, because everything is natural, really. You can't. No, that's not true.
No special precautions are required. These insecticides will be applied or not toxic to birds, humans, or other mammals. Adult moths, butterflies, bees, and other insects are approved by Health Canada for urban aerial use. Well, what the hell are they spraying?
They're not giving you the ingredients.
Yeah, I'm
if
looking.
If you're going to spray it on people, It's going to, I would want to know what the ingredients are, please. That's not informed consent, is it?
No, I'm looking for that. Should I send them an email asking what the hell it is?
You want to know what the ingredients are, please? These naturally occurring ingredients.
Yeah. Crazy. Oh, there's a pretty picture of the LDD moth. It's actually quite nice. It's got red corona-like buttons on it.
Oh, really?
I'm looking at the picture. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? There's nothing here about what it is. Maybe this is it.
Well, Timmy Tangent's gone off again.
I know. Where were we? Okay, let's get back. Let's get back, Tracy.
Back to the monkeypox,
right.
Right, we finished with Von Magnus. He's a very interesting blog. So then...
must be peerage.
So then we go to look at when they discovered it in humans in 1970. They're discovering this virus, which no one actually really discovered back in the 1950s. They're going to now not really discover it in humans in 1970. And then by... So they're saying that they found it. And then by 1986, which is 16 years later, they've have over 400 cases in humans reported. So it's another case scenario.
Cases,
so
cases.
They're obviously using, you know, the same tests that they use on us for COVID and stuff. It's all the same rubbish. Then in the prevention section, it says vaccination against smallpox is assumed to provide protection against human monkeypox infection.
Assumed. Is that a medical term?
It's a wiki term.
Yeah.
Not a scientific term.
No
well, actually,
way.
They do use a lot in science, don't they?
The new science, yeah. The new normal science.
And it's assumed because they're closely related. Smallpox and monkeypox are closely related.
Lesions on a skin, they all look pretty similar.
Exactly. But this has not been conclusively demonstrated in humans, this vaccine protection has not been conclusively demonstrated, but they are going ahead and offering the smallpox vaccine now to health workers, I've heard.
Good
and they
luck.
also gave it to the soldiers a lot. They were still giving out the smallpox vaccine for soldiers that were going to certain countries. I don't know which, but I think it was part of the Gulf War syndrome jabs that they gave back then as well. So they're still using the smallpox vaccine on certain people. And they've been using it in Africa, obviously. What's this? Oh, yeah, the other genetic clade of... Oh, that's just one of the... monkey viruses. There's
monkeypox 15. Is that what
yeah,
that is?
Something like that.
Version 15.
The other genetic monkeypox virus occurs in Western Africa. The case fatality rate is less than 1%, and no human-to-human transmission was documented. And here we go with the editing until 2022 monkeypox outbreak in Europe,
which is this week.
Yes.
Fresh off
it's
the press.
It's never been transmitted back from human to human ever in the history since the 1950s. And suddenly now in 2022, they're saying it's being transmitted human to human.
Yeah. 'Tis the time of the transmission. We're in the transmission era.
And then I found the paper from the 1970s. 1972, actually. That's 2 years later. But anyway, the paper that claims the isolation. And basically, it's very short. and it only has an abstract from what I can see. And the way that they say they isolated it was just basically the cell culture thing and antibodies. And antibodies are non-specific and they don't even do what they say they do. So they've counted antibodies in monkeys and apes that they've injected with supposed monkeypox. And where was it? It was shown conclusively that monkeypox virus and the strains under investigation could be distinguished from ordinary variola and vaccinia, which is that smallpox viruses, on the basis of their behaviour in pig embryo kidney continuous cell line culture. So they didn't find a virus that was different, and all they're going on is the basis that it changed the cells in this pig embryo kidney cell line.
Wow.
So that is not isolation either. So they haven't isolated it from a human either. Because this, according to what I could find, this was the only article about from around that time. And that's it. So that was the research that I was looking at last night.
Well, this is the hot off the press Northern Tracy monkeypox research. So,
I haven't even made this into an article yet. I'm just gathering it all together. So what do you think? What needs adding? that pretty much.
We need the BS stamped all over it.
Yeah, bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Is this the big round two that Bill Gates was promising everybody, do you think? Do you think this is the one they're going to run all the way down the field?
I don't see them being able to do it because it's such a visual.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very visual, isn't it? But what, wasn't there something in my monkeypox thing?
And the old one was the hepatitis thing that we've glossed over. We could quickly talk about that too.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there was a link in the monkeypox article. I didn't say much about monkeypox.
You're looking at live research now with Northern Tracy on her Blurt blog.
All right. Oh, that's about long COVID. See, there were things that crossed over between smallpox, monkeypox, long COVID, the jabs. You know, there's lots of things going on there.
I like the baffled scientists. They're all baffled.
Oh, they're always bloody baffled, aren't they? And baffled doctors as well.
Well, a baffled scientist is more valuable than a baffled regular person because their baffle is worth more than our baffle.
I suppose so.
So if they're baffled, then no one's ever going to figure this out. So why bother trying? But Northern Tracy's figured it out, so no baffling here. This is a no baffle zone. If you're a baffled scientist, you should quit.
See, I know that they've been talking about bringing loads of refugees in from Rwanda.
I thought they sent them back to Rwanda.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on because I haven't been following the news. I just keep seeing all these news articles about refugees from Rwanda. And the other day, I heard that they were getting the go-ahead. And that they were going to bring these refugees over from Rwanda. But what? I don't even know what's going on in Rwanda that people
are
leaving. There's not a war there, is there?
So that was settled.
Exactly.
The Tutsis and the Hutus, they're done. Unless they're starting up
again.
Why
are the refugees suddenly coming over from Rwanda?
No. I can imagine they could be coming from Sri Lanka because they're burning that country down to the ground.
And is Rwanda even in a kind of monkeypox area?
I'm sure there are monkeys there.
Yeah, I don't know. See, Rwanda. I don't know if this it's tied in or not, but it's worth keeping an eye on, I would say.
You think this is tied to the monkeys that got loose in the United States a couple of months ago?
I heard about that as well.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that could be tied in as well. It's like they're following film scripts, isn't it? Because 28 days later, that was the first scene of that was in a lab with monkeys, chimps, and these animal rights people were in there to release the chimps from the lab, and then one of them gets bitten, I think, and that's how the film starts.
Yeah, you mean the movie Outbreak?
No, the movie 28 Days Later.
Oh, that's a movie.
Have you never seen 28 Days Later?
No.
Oh, it's brilliant.
I should watch that.
I used to really love zombie films. I'm a bit bored with them now, but that was my big thing.
We're in a zombie film right now.
I know. I think that's why I've given up on them, because you just have to walk outside now.
I saw some zombies out. We were driving in the rich area of Toronto just looking at where people like Drake lived, you know. Drake, he's a rapper. We went to look at his house, and zombies all over the place walking outside. I'm looking at a map of the Central Africa, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo is definitely the biggest country in Central Africa that I can see, and it's landlocked. It's a landlocked country, except for a tiny little, maybe a couple miles. Where's the, I'm getting off track here, but I like getting off track a little bit. They only have about a couple miles worth of Western Africa coastline in Muanda. Muanda's a city. But Rwanda is on the very other side, on the east side of Congo. And it's a tiny little country north of Burundi. So it barely constitutes a very small country as well, Rwanda, but it has a border with the Congo. Interesting. Interesting.
Well,
interesting.
I think that's just about all I've got on monkeypox for now. So we could talk about the hepatitis if you want,
sure.
Unless you think it's over with.
Well, it's still.
I don't think the hepatitis is over with myself.
No, we'll talk about that just in case anyone is worrying.
Okay, so.
Oh, by the way, I have the. I have the pesticides being applied. Do you want to hear that?
Oh, you've got the ingredients?
Well, it says what it is. It's 4A48B biological insecticide aqueous suspension. And the active ingredient in 4A48B is Bacillus thuringiensis, which I guess is a bacteria. It's Bacillus bacteria.
Right.
And it says Herstockii strain. And another one is Biovir suspension concentrate insecticidal virus.
Well, virus.
Yeah. The active ingredients is Limantria dispar nucleo polyhedrovirus. So they're dropping viruses.
Well, they haven't got any viruses, so what the fuck is it?
Exactly. They're dropping, one of them is Bacillus, which is bacteria. The others,
genetically modified, made in a lab, protein particles, by the sounds of it.
Right.
Which is, it all boils down to, in the end, when you get down to the basic ingredients, is chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
Chemicals just that have been like tied together to be made into a structure.
Interesting.
Which they call a protein.
Right. Think there's any metals in that?
I don't think the metals would make that much difference, but could be. It's very worrying. I would look up all those numbers to find what they are exactly made from and how they're made, because it sounds like they're making them in the gene labs to me.
Maybe in the Ukraine bio labs.
The techie gene labs.
Bacillus thuringiensis is a natural spore-forming bacterium that occurs in soils everywhere.
Spore-forming bacterium?
Yeah. As the spore matures, it produces a protein crystal that is toxic for certain insects. When larvae ingest BT, it destroys the lining of their gut and they stop feeding and die within days. Yeah.
That's bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Well, if you look at the pleomorphic theory, as opposed to one germ, one disease, pleomorphism is where they've shown, and they know this happens now, they admit it, bacteria morph and change into different forms. And one of the forms is the spore, the one that makes the spores. And then the spore is the next form. So, you know, the bacteria come from a spore, which is about the size of what they say is a virus. And then you'd have to find the pleomorphism chart to see how it works, but it goes through a whole cycle of different shapes and sizes and functions until right at the end it will release spores and then die. And that's the life cycle of the pleomorphic bacteria. So I'm just wondering which bacteria they are talking about, and are they using the spores or the spore-forming part?
I don't know, but it says how it works is upon ingestion, the BT protein is activated by alkaline-dependent proteins, which change the BT protein into an active form within the insect's digestive tract.
Yawn.
Yeah, this activation allows the protein to bind to receptors located on the intestinal lining. Once the protein binds, it forms holes in the gut that lead to cell death, septicemia, and insect mortality.
So it's basically just a poison then. Mm-hmm. They're making a poison from genetically modified bacteria.
Right. So that's the natural part of the story, I guess. It's bacteria. Bacteria's nature.
Yeah, but it's not natural what they're doing with the bacteria. Mm. They're genetically modifying them in the labs. So, the bacteria, if they were just spraying bacteria, that wouldn't be a problem. That wouldn't hurt anybody or anything. So they have to make it into some kind of chemical soup that will damage. And if it can kill insects, it can kill people, basically.
Right. Yeah, I agree. But they're trying to say you have to eat it, and then it goes in your gut, and it gets transforms. That sounds like alchemy, into something toxic.
If they spray it anywhere near crops, then you obviously are going to eat it, aren't you?
Yeah, I hope you don't have a garden in these areas. Another reason to have a greenhouse, huh?
That's another reason to get yourself a missile gun.
Well, just think there's going to be choppers flying in your neighborhood near you dropping this stuff in the morning. That'll be interesting, waking up to a twin-engine chopper. And
They're not in an island, are they?
No, this is Toronto.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't. I've never seen anyone spraying around here, but there's not. I'm not in a crop area. This area is all cows and sheep.
Right.
I'm the only one growing crops around here.
All right, let's get to your research on the latest thing that's affecting children.
Yeah.
This is a children thing going on right now.
So I went looking and they didn't mention ages. It was, you know, in the articles, they don't tell you a lot. So they didn't say what the ages were, just between one and children. It just said children. So that could be from baby to 16. Doesn't say anything about the vaccine status. Doesn't say anything about comorbidities, even nothing. Just that 17 children needing liver transplants. So that's really serious liver failure. And one dying. And then later on, that I think that one did die, and I did another article. So the things they don't mention, the things they do mention, they claim the COVID vaccine's been ruled out as a cause, but they give zero information on how or why. How did they rule that out? And they claim the culprit is another virus with no proof. They claim that the culprit is not the virus alone, that there has to be a co-conspirator in the mix. So something else in combination with the virus is triggering liver failure. But there's no mention of what that might be. So when they start to spout nonsense, makes me interested, obviously. And if the virus is not a sole cause of the disease, then it's not the cause of the disease. You can't say that something's causing a disease, but something else has to work with it to cause it. That means that thing is not causing it.
Right.
On its own. So it's not the cause. So it's not a virus. Just because that's what they did with the germ theory originally, with tuberculin. They found it in healthy people as well as the sick people. So then they said, that's when they decided we must have an immune system. That's the only thing they could come up with to keep the germ theory going, when they found that the germs were there when you were sick and when you were healthy.
All right.
So
they just cover that now with asymptomatic, or you're asymptomatic, but you have it.
Exactly. So the name of the virus that they're using to say is causing this liver damage is called an adenovirus.
Adenovirus 41 says here.
Oh, they've got 41 of them now, have they?
They got number 41. That's the one they think it is.
Well, that's them playing around with their jigsaw puzzles again. So adeno stands for adenoids. And that's where they claim to have found the virus back in the 50s. But what did they actually find?
Is that why they're pulling out people's adenoids?
They used to a long time ago. They used to take them out with the tonsils, didn't they?
Yeah, I remember that. Is that just part of your lymph system?
Well, I actually had to look because I couldn't remember what adenoids were. So I had a quick look.
Mm.
And are you still sharing my screen?
Yep. Well, I see them.
And I found this. So your adenoids are up here in the back, right back of your nose, which is exactly where they were sticking the PCR test.
Oh, right.
So it's just a bit of skin here. And they claim that your adenoids, same as your tonsils, that they help you fight germs and viruses. That's all they're there for, which is rubbish. So if the way I think of it, if they're in an area where the air that comes in through your nose is going to pass this thing, this area of skin. So it's kind of like a checkpoint where the body is like filtering what's in the air and, I don't know, storing it memory-wise or something. So if something comes in, something lethal, comes in through that way, hits your adenoids, and then you pass out, say it's a gas that,
it's toxic,
makes you pass out, then this would have been logged here as entering just before you passed out. So then it must get stored in your brain that this chemical shouldn't be allowed in again because it makes you pass out or does worse damage. It would have to be worse than passing out, actually, wouldn't it, for it to react. So then if it comes in again, this thing swells up and blocks your airway, which means that things can get filtered out more easily, I guess. That is my theory, anyway, of what your adenoids and your tonsils are for. But tonsils is more to do with food coming in, like getting a quick taste of what food is coming in.
Yeah, there's some kind of sensor, like on.
Yeah, that's what I think they are.
Sensor.
Nothing to do with viruses or bacteria, though. So anyway, that's your adenoids. Where was I?
They're saying it's an adenal virus. So they're saying that it affects the adenoids. Is that that's what we should take?
Well, no. They're saying that it comes from your adenoids.
Okay.
There was somewhere, I think it says in this summary here, from the present evidence, it appears that this is when they first found it, that an unidentified, possibly new tissue culture cytopathogenic agent, so that there's tissue cultures again, has been isolated repeatedly from human adenoids undergoing spontaneous degeneration in tissue culture. So this is not going on in the body. This is going on in a petri dish. The filterability and the inability of to cultivate the agent on bacteriological media and to demonstrate organisms in stained tissue culture preparations would indicate that the agent belongs to the group of viruses or rickettsial. It's really badly written. It is tentatively proposed to...
Is that rickets?
It's an adenoid degeneration agent. So basically, it's a protein, again.
That's like a poison, yeah.
Or an enzyme that breaks down adenoid tissue. So, like, you know, when I did my cancer talk, where during a process, the body needs more tissue, it builds extra tissue in certain areas, and then when the process is finished, it has to break down the extra tissue and get rid of it again and recycle it. And this is done by bacteria, which use proteins to break and enzymes to break the tissue down. So this is all they've found. Anything else interesting in there? Yeah, from the first line, the present evidence, it appears that an unidentified... Yeah, so it's talking about tissue cultures, obviously. So they have not isolated any virus from a human being and proved that it's a virus. But interestingly, it also says later on, no, I won't say it yet. So they take the cells out of the natural environment and they stick them in a petri dish and then they die and become, I think they call it plaques. They see plaques and that means there's a virus there. And that's when they give it a name. They don't isolate it or fulfill Koch's postulates or anything like that. So it's ever since the Ender's paper, that's what they've been doing since the 50s. This is the same process that they use for every virus, new discovery. Even though it's been proven that the measles virus that Ender's supposedly discovered using this method has been debunked in court. yeah, that was where I was going to say. So the agent, they're calling it the agent, it comes from the adenoid. So it's part of the human body and not an invading pathogen. What does rickettsial mean? I've forgotten.
It sounds like rickets.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but it's not. I did say it somewhere. I do look it up. Rickettsial
diseases are a group of diseases with similar symptoms caused by a bacteria of the genus Rickettsia. These bacteria are spread by the bite of an infected tick or mite.
Yeah, it's something from a tick bite or a bite or a parasite. So I don't know why they're saying it's rickettsial either. That's weird. So then I looked on Wiki to what it has to say about adenovirus. And of course, it's been edited recently. Just to make sure they get, you know, their hepatitis stuff in there, I suppose. So this virus could cause, according to Wiki, could cause anything from strep throat to whooping cough. And it's been found in many animals, including bats and snakes. So you've got your bats in there and your snake venom. The infection section was the most interesting. They seem to have added every side effect of the COVID jabs in there as a sign of adenovirus infection. Big coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to read this section?
Sure.
Most people recover from adenovirus infections by themselves, but people with immunodeficiency... There we are again. Sometimes die of adenovirus infections, and rarely even previously healthy people can die of these infections. Okay. This may be because sometimes adenoviral infection can lead to cardiac disorders. For example, in one study, some cardiac samples of patients with dilated cardiomyopathy were positive for the presence of adenovirus type 8. So then they're doing the PCR test again. This has all been updated very recently on Wiki. Adenoviruses are often transmitted by expectoration, but they can also be transmitted by contact with an infected person or by virus particles left on objects such as towels and faucet handles.
Yeah, here we go again with the transmission. Yeah. Contagion.
This has all just been added very recently, you can tell, because it's not even talking in the same way at all. Because, you know, earlier on, adenoviruses weren't a big deal, nothing big deal about them. Now suddenly they can be deadly even if you're healthy.
Well, they just added the nasty bits to coincide with today.
Some reason, they forgot to mention liver failure. They haven't actually put liver failure in there, which is quite funny. I suppose it would be a bit too obvious, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
stuck it in there straight away. And apparently there's no antiviral drug for adenovirus yet, even though it's been around since, when was it? When was it discovered? I've forgotten now. To scroll up the page again. A long time. So they haven't got any antiviral drugs, but I bet they've got some sitting on the shelf in the back room somewhere, just waiting to bring them out. The next section of interest, the gene therapy bit. This is interesting. So on the wiki page about adenoviruses, they have a gene therapy section. Adenoviruses have long been a popular viral vector for gene therapy due to their ability to affect both replicating and non-replicating cells. So basically, this adenovirus or whatever gene sequence it is that they're using and calling an adenovirus is used in the mRNA jabs. Because it's, you know, that's what they use in these gene therapy jabs. Adenoviruses. And then adenovirus have been used to produce viral vector COVID-19 vaccines. So, yeah, I got to it in the end. I'd already worked that out beforehand, but they've actually spelled it out. In four candidate COVID-19 vaccines, it serves as the vector to transport the surface protein gene. That's this spike protein rubbish. So they used this adenovirus gene mixture in the jabs. And yet they're still not telling us if any of these kids with the liver failure had the jabs.
Interesting.
Or they're not telling the truth, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Something that gives the game away. What's this specific modification? A major effort is made to limit hepatotoxicity and prevent multiple organ failure. Aha. So they already know that these proteins that they're manufacturing can cause multiple organ failure, in particular hepatotoxicity, which is toxicity to the liver. And I only just this morning noticed this word here, oncolytic.
Right.
Oncolytic adenovirus, which is an approved cancer treatment. So I looked up oncolytic.
That's to do with blood, I think.
No, oncology, it's to do with cancer.
Oh, okay. Oncology is cancer, okay.
And oncolytic viruses are a form of immunotherapy that uses viruses to infect and destroy cancer cells. Huh. I just thought that was quite interesting. So this is going back to what I was saying about the proteins that break down the cells that are no longer needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a virus. It's part of our own body's breaking down of tissues no longer needed.
Right, and they've been giving these shots since birth, Hep B.
Huh?
As you put here, they've been giving the Hep B shots at birth.
Yeah, and the Hep B was the very first use of this technology. It was the first time they genetically modified bacteria and gene proteins and what they say are viruses. So the Hep B was the original mRNA jab. I think they called it at the time, they called it a DNA jab, but it was the early stages of what they're doing now with these new jabs.
Mm.
And we all know what happened with that. That started the whole HIV and AIDS debacle, because it destroyed people's immune systems, basically.
Well, it was the treatment that was a poison.
Yeah.
And again, I listened to, and I posted this on FakoTube. I don't know if you've heard it before. Did you ever hear Peter Duesberg on Joe Rogan from 15, 16 years ago? I really enjoyed it.
I don't think I would have. I don't think I would have heard that.
Have a listen. It's really quite interesting, because if you want to know the game, Peter Duisberg. He thought he was doing good when he...
You posted that the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, I listened to the whole thing, and I'm not a big Joe Rogan.
I didn't bother watching it because I read a lot about Duisberg back in the 80s and 90s. So,
well, it was good to get a refresher because he thought he was doing good by saying, hey, guys, there's no virus. Yeah. But it turns out that it turned on him. And then he just kept going saying, well, I'm standing by my research.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just shows how he got railroaded out of this whole.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, it was terrible.
But he just decided to stick to his guns. But he explains the whole thing, and he was talking about just the treatments are always what kills people, even the treatment for syphilis.
Exactly.
Which was mercury. And you had to take mercury for a year to treat it.
Yeah, so basically this whole liver failure thing is either linked to the COVID vaccine or the Hep B vaccine, which is now being given to newborns in Ireland and the UK. Since I think they started giving it in 2018.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's very recent. They were
trialing it in the years previous to that. And the trials didn't go very well, I don't think. I personally, have you heard of Charlie Gard?
Not really. I think you may have brought him up before.
There was a massive, massive, he was in the newspapers all the way through 2017, I think it was, because he was very, very sick and the hospital wouldn't let the parents take him out of the hospital to get like new experimental treatment in other countries. But basically they wanted, the authorities wanted rid of this kid before he was 2 years old, because if he dies before he's two, they can't blame the vaccines for some reason.
Oh, wow. There's
some legal loophole that once they hit 2 years old, you can sue, you can prove that vaccine damage caused them to be sick. But before two, you can't. I don't know how it works exactly, but then they needed him gone before he was two, and they did actually turn off his machines before he hit his second birthday. And I was trying to find out what vaccines he'd had, but you couldn't find it out at all back then. And the parents weren't interested in listening to us anti-vaxxers. So I was pretty sure that it was a Hep B trial vaccine that caused what he had.
No mention in this Wikipedia. No mention.
He was born absolutely perfect. You can see pictures of him when he's first born, a beautiful baby, nothing wrong with him. And then he goes downhill within at the age of 6 weeks, he starts going downhill. And I just think that he was one of the first Hep B babies to have the vaccine. Because then the next year, there was another kid called Alfie Evans. And it was almost the exact same thing happened all over again. But this baby was from Liverpool. And it was the same scenario all over again. They wouldn't let them take the baby out of the hospital. And he was put on life support. And he was really, really sick. And in the end, he died from whatever they were doing to him, basically.
Right.
And I think he was another Hep B baby.
No mention at all on that. No mention at all.
Well, what they've done is instead of giving it as a one shot like they were doing in America, giving it at birth, they're putting it in the 6-in-1 now.
Oh, right.
And the 6-in-1 gets given at 2 months old. So
I see it here.
Hep B at 2 months old now.
NHSinform.Scott, the 6-in-1 vaccine. Wow. Diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, polio, hemophilus, influenza, hepatitis B.
Yep. They snuck it in there, hoping no one would notice.
8, 12, and 16 weeks of age.
Because they were giving it as a separate jab in America as soon as the baby came out. But it was only supposed to be given to babies from HIV-positive mothers or drug users, people like that who would get bad livers from all the drugs they take. It wasn't meant to be given to all children. They've just sort of, like, wiggled it into the childhood schedule. And I can't understand why nobody kicks up a fuss about it.
Well, you can, because they just don't believe that anything that's good for you could be killing you. And that's happening today. There's just a tremendous cognitive dissonance. And, of course, vaccines can never be the cause. It's always anything and everything else, including the weather.
Yeah.
It's just a money thing. It's pretty clear. Money, control, and if you believe it, a genocide, organized genocide campaign, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt to me.
Yep. Well, it's been going on for a long time. I think with the vaccines, they've been trying to see how quickly and effectively they can kill people. And surprisingly, it's quite difficult. It's quite difficult to kill us. They're finding it more and more difficult to kill us without us noticing.
Well, yeah. The resistance is rising, but not fast enough for me.
No, not fast enough for me either.
How are you getting on with your daughter? Is that, how's that ongoing saga playing out? Daughter-in-law, yeah.
I haven't spoken to her.
No, so.
I've spoken to her, and I haven't heard from my son either.
Oh, wow. He's obviously had to side with his wife.
I don't know. No, it was partly because I'm not on Facebook anymore, because that's how I kept in touch with my son.
Yeah, well, you don't have his email address?
I don't have his. I've got his work email address, but I can't really email
my goodness.
That. But I sent him a birthday card and I put my email in there so he can email me, but I haven't heard from him.
Oh, that's sad. And, of course, the phone. No phoning.
It's international calls, isn't it? It's expensive.
From the UK?
Yeah, it's expensive to ring Ireland from the UK.
It is? Oh, wow. What about...
It's expensive to post stuff as well.
Well, you got Skype. Come on. We can talk. Yeah, I guess he's...
Well, he's got my Hotmail, so I'll just have to wait and see if he wants to get in touch now. I've done my bit. I've done what I can. Can't do anything else.
Yeah, this COVID has really divided people, hasn't it? Families, friends, relations.
Yeah. It has. Well, it has now. I don't think he's upset with me. He just doesn't want me and her fighting.
Right.
Fighting around him. He doesn't want to be in the middle. So he'll get in touch when he's when he wants me. That's all. Just sit and wait.
Well, everyone's experiencing these dramas, but well, this week, monkeypox, we're going to see how long this one lasts.
There's already so many funny memes coming out. My sister sent me one, actually.
Oh, it's right, hilarious. Yeah.
Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, post the memes. Finally, we can take a break from Joe Biden. Joe Biden memes.
Yeah, that's funny. But it was, as I was writing my little bit about monkeypox, there wasn't really a lot going on. And as soon as I posted it, it seemed like it was everywhere. And I was like, blimey, how did that get around that quick? Can you see my screen?
I can. I'm just looking on John Talks. Do you ever look at John Talks?
Yes, I like John Talks. Here it is.
Coco Pox.
Just like a COVID crisis, but with blisters.
Oh, right. That's gross.
There's my sister sent me that.
Wow, that's funny.
I need to go now.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. Your garden is going well?
Yeah, I did some laying of weed barrier today in between the thunderstorms. Just keeps raining.
Well, that's why Ireland's so green, isn't it?
I tell you what I've been doing to get away from all this nonsense.
All right.
I've been watching the Johnny and Amber Heard.
No.
It's hilarious. Have you seen any of it?
I won't. It's like it's the OJ trial.
I've seen in years. All it's right. Absolutely hilarious.
So it's real.
Because there's no comedy anymore. Mm-hmm. This is what we have for comedic value.
Well, I have Joe Biden over here. I enjoy Joe Biden. He's too funny. No,
I'm bored of him now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you only watch one bit of this whole trial, you have to listen to the personal assistant of Amber Heard. She was the funniest thing I've heard in donkey's years. She was so dry and obviously hated Amber Heard's guts. the way she talked to the lawyers and stuff, it is absolutely hilarious.
And all engineered. Do you think it's just like the OJ trial made for television?
I have no idea, but it's absolutely hilarious. I can't imagine that anyone would want to have the things said about them in public that they're saying on this trial. So no, I don't think it is.
I do. I think it's engineered myself.
No, I don't think so.
No.
It's all about money. They're just...
Well, it's also all about distraction too, which is the point of it, I think.
Yeah, well, I feel like being distracted now. I need a bit of distraction.
You've done your dues.
Yeah, I've done my dues. That's why I'm not writing as much as I was before. If something like comes up...
Oh, yeah, monkeypox.
...gets my attention, then I will write about it. And that's what I'm going to do from now on. I've written everything I can about germ theory, viruses, and gene nonsense. So, you know, all there is to do now is to point out the fallacies in the news, really. Just keep reiterating what I've already said and pointing out the same things over and over and over again. Which is every time one of these things pops up, there's a vaccine behind it.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
It's the treatment.
Every single time. You just have to do a bit of digging, that's all. And you don't even have to dig very far. It just pops up. It's there.
The cycle will just keep going until people stop.
Mm-hmm.
Stop getting injected. But that's... Yeah, people want this still, so... We just
but the thing is, everyone who's been injected, they're saying that they've only got like 5 years to live now, that they're all going to be dying of various bloody
ailments.
Cancers and all sorts, liver failures, cancers, kidney failures, whatever. So basically, the only ones left are the people that did listen.
And what will become of us?
We can get on with other more fun things.
Well, we won't be targeted, I hope. That's the problem.
I can go and sit in my garden on a swinging chair reading a book.
As long as they leave us alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
We still can't get on a plane or a train in Canada.
Oh, lovely. So. Well, I've got people asking me to go over to England. And I still don't want to go, even though they've supposedly dropped all the the mandates, even the mask wearing, they've dropped from here to England.
Mm-hmm.
But I still, well, the other thing is, we've got pilots dropping dead while they're flying planes.
Yeah, so now they don't have enough pilots. Yeah,
I'm not even sure that I want to go on an aeroplane now.
Mm-hmm. Mission accomplished.
And that's basically the only thing I can afford to go on, because everything else is ridiculously expensive now because of the petrol.
Yeah, that's what they wanted. Mission accomplished. They're doing it. No travel.
Yeah.
They didn't want travel, and that's what they're getting.
Well, if I can sell my boat, I've got a bloke who's supposed to be selling my boat for me this year.
Oh, you're getting rid of your boat.
Yeah, and if I sell that boat, I want to buy myself a little boat, a little sea boat. And I'll just go over on my boat.
Your sailboat, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see you sailing the seven seas.
Be a motorboat. I can't sail. I don't know how to sail. Mm-hmm. I'd like to learn, but I'm a bit old for learning how to sail now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be a motorboat.
All right. Good chat. Thanks for chatting with me. Always good to check in, and we'll check in with you next time when you have another couple articles to go over. I'm sure there'll be something. So have a fantastic evening.
Whenever you read anything you want me to come and talk about.
I definitely will. Now I'm going to take a break and watch John Talks, because he has 1, 2, 3. He has about 9 videos that I haven't watched. So I think I'm going to watch them with the audience here, including George Shrub Bush screw up and interchange Iraq for Ukraine. This guy... I go back and forth whether he's really a dummy or not, but I'm back on that he's really a dummy.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
I'll see you later. Bye.
Bye-bye. There goes Northern Tracy. Northern Tracy's always fun to talk to. Let's play a couple of John Talks. Why not?
Yesterday.
In contrast, Russian elections are rigged. Political opponents are imprisoned or otherwise eliminated from participating in the electoral process. The result is an absence of checks and balances in Russia and the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine. Iraq, too. Anyway. 75.
It was at this moment that he knew he f***ed up.
Brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine.
I need a place to hide away.
Iraq, too. Anyway.
Okay, that's George Shrub Bush. Let's see Kamala going on.
It would be a direct assault on the fundamental right to self-determination, to live and love without interference from the government. At its core, this is about our future as a nation, about whether we live in a country where the government can interfere in personal decisions.
About whether we live in a country where the government can interfere in personal decisions.
You serious?
Man, they use that clip over and over again, the me. Okay, what do we got? Joe Biden reading the teleprompter?
President Nisto, you are, and Prime Minister Anderson. It's a great honor to have both of you here at the White House. I welcome Sweden and Finland. And let no one make a mistake. The meaning of this historic day. That's how it works when leaders derive their power from the consent of the government, from the consent of the governed.
Bruh.
And let no one make a mistake.
Oh, man. Joe Biden never fails every single day. What else we got? Let's see. It's time to leave Earth. This is one of my favorite meme music videos. $40 billion for Ukraine, but no money for American suffering restaurants. I love it. Okay, let's keep going with John Talks. Just the best. Memes of the day. There we go. More. Sorry, this isn't very visual. Or this is all visual, rather. It's not good for the podcast. So you're going to have to check fakeo2.com to watch this video.
Get the
f***
out!
All right, so that's... Yeah, sorry about that. Those are more memes. Okay, here's some old Joe talk. March 1st, 2020. This is what Joe said.
Great to debate him on stage. I want people to see me standing next to him and him standing next to me. We'll see who's sleepy.
Mr. Vice President, thank you. Thanks for your time. Please come back in less than 13 years, sir.
All right, Chuck. Thank you very much.
All right. It's Chris, anyway.
Chris. I just did Chris. No, I just did All right, Chuck.
Oh, Joe, you're something else. That was from a year ago. And here we go. Here's some Amber Heard stuff. More memes. Good. What else we got here? When you turn a first world country into a third world country, this is today, yesterday. They're flying formula around the United States now to Indiana.
I just have to ask, people watching this are probably wondering, as we all are, how do we get to the point where the United States of America has to airlift baby formula from another country in order to feed its children?
That's a good question. Don't forget, ladies, the best feed for your baby is right on your chest.
Mr. President, quick question. What have your health advisors told you your level of concern should be about monkeypox and the cases that are in the United States and around the world?
Well, they haven't told me the level of exposure yet, but it is something that everybody should be concerned about. We're working on it hard to figure out what we do and what vaccine, if any, may be available for it. But vaccine, if any, may be available.
Yeah.
It is a concern in the sense that if it were to spread, it's consequential. It's consequential.
Hey, I've seen this one. This
yeah. Get ready for your monkeypox vaccine. And what do we got now? More memes of the day. This is from yesterday, too. Well, he was busy. Okay, one more with
it's not
Kamala.
In my notes, but I'll tell you it just on a personal level. My first grade teacher, Mrs. Frances Wilson, God rest her soul, attended my law school graduation. I love our teachers. I love our teachers. I love our teachers. I know we have a number of students today as well. Let's see all the students who are here. There you
There we are.
So congratulations to you and your classmates on getting close to finishing up the school year. You made it.
All right, Kamala, she's too much. Okay, that's John Talks. Well, that was another show today. Thanks for joining in. Don't forget, if you like the show, make sure you tune in every weeknight at around 8 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget, I don't know if you listen to the show unless you donate or send me an email. Thank you to Dirty Benny for another donation, a great contributor, and also to Lynn, who is now a $3.11 a month donor. So thank you guys very much. Thanks for your patience as I upgrade the computers. And thanks to Bellaset and Sarah for updating the front page. That looks great. And we're just going to continue plowing along. And don't forget, we have a new phone number for the audio chat. We're going to test that out, see if it works. And check Fakeologist. Fake11.com/audio chat. That'll bring you to that page where you can learn the phone number and try it out on the Skype. All right. We'll talk to you next time. Have a good night, everybody.